two men enter, but only one can be named champion. These men have faces for radio, but do they have the chin to take a punch?
You want me to hit you?
That's right.
What, like in the face?
Surprise me.
This is so stupid.
Anyone can give a hot take. Everyone has an opinion, but can they fight?
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
It's time for the Killer Bees Fight Club. Let's get ready to... Okay, that's Michael Buffer's lawyers. I'm not going to say the line, Michael Buffer lawyers. I'm not going to say the line. You're so strong.
We're getting down to some tough matchups in the Killer Bees Fight Club bracket. Yesterday, two punched their ticket on their way to the Final Four. We'll have two Final Four matchups and then the championship match coming up on Championship Monday. The first of the two matches yesterday, in fact, the second one, actually. I'm going to go with that one because that one was a squash match. The final in the Ralph Cooper region. Booker T, Paul Gallant. You want to guess the results here?
Booker T in a landslide.
You want to guess it?
92%.
Not quite. Brian?
I've already seen it, so I don't
know. Okay. 78% Booker T, 22% Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant was begging for chairs yesterday. He's begging for weapons against Booker T. Booker T on to the Final Four, the first of four tickets punched.
Who's had the biggest runaway victory so far?
Seth Payne.
Was it Seth?
Seth Payne.
Against the show.
Yeah,
the show.
Yeah, it was
82
Seth.
To 82.
Yeah, he was in the 80s. He was in the 80s.
The second matchup of the day came between Adam Clanton and Clint Sterner. CatsFan.com, which is a, I guess, a fan group of Bearcat Nation. In fact, the bio...
I thought it was Paul Gallant's secondary Twitter site.
It might be.
He is a cat daddy.
He's a big cat fan.
At CatFans.com is a it's a Bearcat sports thing. Like, hey, look at us. We talk about Sam Houston sports. He quote tweeted the matchup yesterday saying, calling on a hashtag Bearcat Nation to support hashtag SamFam member at Adam Clanton in this poll, hashtag eat 'em up cats. So Clanton got the support.
I told you that was gonna happen.
Of the Sam Houston sports fan group, I guess, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to get the win over the Baytown Batty. The Baytown Batty didn't just defeat Adam Clanton, but he also defeated CatFans.com. The Baytown Batty, Clint Sterner, on to the Final Four as he beats Adam Clanton by the thinnest of margins.
So Hog Nation, 51% greater sign, Bearcat Nation.
Yes, it matters more.
Straight, the power of that Arkansas milk, brother.
Yeah. It means more in the SEC. So Clint Sterner, the narrowest of margins, avoids a feisty Bearcat and beating Adam Clanton by 1.5%. We have the first semifinal between Clint Sterner and Booker T, a matchup that's coming up tomorrow. That one should be good. Two matchups today, though. I think that these are heavyweight fights, too. These are really good. First one, the final of the Rich Lord region. Sean Salisbury, QB1, fighting Lance Zierlein, our very own Lance Z, going toe-to-toe. So you got a king of the trenches versus a quarterback going toe-to-toe
Lance,
here.
It's probably going too far back, but I wonder if Lance has a draft profile on Sean Salisbury.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Never underestimate what Lance can find when he's evaluating talent.
This is obviously tough to pick who's going to argue each one, because obviously Lance, we both know Lance very well. I'm going to give Lance to Joel and have Jeremy argue.
Okay.
Since he ordered for a quarterback yesterday and that quarterback won, I'm going to give it another quarterback today. So Jeremy will argue for Sean Salisbury. Joel, you will argue for Lance Zierlein.
Let's just start right from where we left off, and that is Lance is an unbelievable talent evaluator with the ability to dig up what he needs to find. He found 8mm film on Salisbury. He knows where his weaknesses are. He knows where to attack. He knows from all the way from SC through the Vikings and everywhere else. He knows how to attack Sean Salisbury. He is going to be cagey. He is going to stick to the scouting report. He's going to make sure that he makes Salisbury move more than he has to. And he's going to do what he needs to do to try and use his ground and pound when he has to by tripping and falling, faking an injury, and then when he's down on the mat, claiming that he slipped on a wet surface.
Man.
He is going to cheap shot Sean Salisbury to do what he needs to do to come out on top.
That's a very cowardly rope-a-dope.
Dirty tactics
from
Lance Erline.
Hey, it's anything goes.
But if Salisbury does his prep and knows Lance has a propensity to hurt himself, Lance goes down, are you okay? Boom, pow, there you go.
Thank you for making my first point for Sean Salisbury.
That'd be soft if Salisbury lit up and asked him if he was okay in the middle of a fight.
No, Sean's a fighter. Sean's a competitor. He's not going to like help Lance up after he plays possum and fakes an injury.
Help him out. Just check if he's all right.
Lance might be able to pull up the eight-track or whatever you said it was.
Eight-millimeter film.
It's a phrase that outdates me. Sean Salisbury is a professional athlete that played in the NFL. Lance Zierlein sprains his ankle playing disc golf. Lance Erline might be able to break down the film, but it's one thing to have an excellent game plan. It's another thing to execute that game plan. And do we think that Lance, whose best sport is, again, disc golf, has the ability to execute the game plan against a former athlete that is faster, that is quicker, that is bigger than one Lance Erline? Sean Salisbury on his way to the Final Four.
Jeremy, you mentioned game plan there multiple times. As Mike Tyson once said, everyone has a game plan until you get punched in the mouth.
Yep.
And I don't even know if Lance will be there for the punch in the mouth because he's going to trip on the way in and he already be down on the ground. So I will give the fight to the former professional athlete. Lance Z can't stay on his feet. Sean Salisbury wins 10-8.
Now, the next fight, it would be interesting if Lance won because the final of the Kenny Hand region features his co-host, John Granato. It would be entertaining. I think for ratings
purposes, I think I'm rooting for that.
It would be nice to have Lance versus Granato. But the second, and Granato's got it, he's got a tough matchup here, though. Mm. John Granato going up against another former NFL player, Seth Payne, one half of PP on Highway to Hell.
It'll be interesting to hear the argument from Granato. Joel, I think you've worked with Granato longer, so I will give you Granato, and Jeremy will argue on the behalf of Seth Payne.
Again, I got a professional athlete who looks better in retirement than he did during his playing days. It's because he spends time doing a bunch of cardio. And when you're doing a bunch of cardio, you got the endurance. So he can last the distance one half of PP on Highway to Hell. And then secondly, he's a former athlete. He's faster. He's bigger. He's quicker. I think he's got an Ivy League education.
Yeah,
Ivy League education. So he's got all upstairs. He's the total package, one half of PP.
Total package is Lex Luger.
Seth Payne looks better than Lex Luger these days.
He's also a solo artist, and the thing that you're looking for here is strength in numbers. And when you're talking about strength in numbers, it's Seth against the world because that's what Granato's bringing to the table. He's bringing all the Italian nation and all the Italian stallions out of the woodwork to come swinging and poking and ripping and doing whatever they got to do to assist in what needs to be done. It doesn't matter how they get it done. It's that they get it done. And Granato and his paisans are going to come to fight. They're going to fight dirty. They're going to fight often. They are going to have things rigged or at least planned out so that the entire fight from start to finish has sidebars that can be brought into play at any time. And Granato, forget about it. In a landslide.
If Granato, if we're leaning into the Italian stereotypes, if Granato is able to get in his fellow paisans into the fight, that might bring Granato back into the fight. But one point Jeremy did make is Seth Payne is from the mean streets of Buffalo. It's a man who grew up
Why are you arguing instead of judging, Brian?
I'm making the point why I'm going to side with Seth Payne.
I mentioned the anthem is being performed by a violinist, and that case can carry other things.
A gun? Yeah, can carry a Tommy
gun. I didn't say
gun.
That you did.
I've seen that movie. I'd like to see Granato versus Lance, but I got a side for Seth Payne by knockout. Seth Payne, to me, is the eventual winner of this fight. We are headed towards Seth Payne versus Booker T.
That's a slobber knocker.
That is a fight I would pay to see. Well, we'll see.
Baytown Batty,
he's a live underdog for sure.
Yeah.
But I will pick Seth Payne in the knockout of here over the Godfather.
Yeah, and by the way, speaking of the movies, and Branham taking another shot at me, 8mm was a Nick Cage movie, and it was pretty good.
You're a fan of Nicolas Cage?
Nicolas Cage, the actor, has had some pretty good films.
He's had a bit of a comeback.
My co-host, like Jason Statham and Nick Cage, is their favorite actors. Sheesh.
I didn't say he's my favorite actor. He has talent as an actor.
Jason Statham is great.
You have said you love Jason Statham.
Does Nicolas Cage have talent as an actor?
He's got a bit of a comeback.
713-780.
I know you didn't watch the Oscars, but he stood there as a representative of having won an Oscar in a starring role.
0834, pre-fight meal for Sean, Lance's barbecue. Oh, more dirty tactics from Lance. We'll see who advances the two Final Four matchups coming up tomorrow and then playing down to our championship game on Championship Monday. All right, these Texans are showing you they aren't the same old Texans. Splash after splash. Can you believe this is true, that this is who the Texans are? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, right before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at MyBookie. MyBookie is where I always tell you to go if you want to put some money down. You've got college basketball again this weekend, both men's and women's, and you know that the women's games are going to be highly viewed, just like the games last week. If you're watching and you're looking for a little rooting interest, put some money down so that you can make even the most uninteresting game, because you don't have an allegiance, a lot more interesting. It's MyBookie.ag. They take care of you in a variety of ways. If there's no games going on, well, there's casino games that you can play, because there's live dealers standing by at all times for poker and blackjack and so much more. When there are games going on, you can go and get to their live streams, part of their website, where you can actually bet on the games, in the games, while you're watching the games on the website. And they always take care of their customers. That's right now. They're doing it again. Up to $1,000, you put money in, they give you more. Therefore, you have more money in your account, more games you can bet on, and, of course, more chances you can win. For example, you put $200 in, there's $300 in your account instantly, and you have more money that you can use to do whatever you want to bet. You can bet on games, you can do prop bets, you can do casino games. It's a whole heck of a lot of fun. Check them out today. What you need to know in order to get that bonus is our promo code, which is bet975. Anytime and every time you see it on the website, you've got to use it if you want to truly cash in as much as you can. Go to mybookie.ag right now, use that promo code bet975, and understand what I always tell you. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, with the only place I tell you to do it, it's mybookie.ag.
Live from Constellation Field for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Well, these aren't your same old Texans, huh? Just splash after splash after splash. I think you can go all the way back to D'Amico Ryans. You know, the top coaching candidate on the market. Didn't seem like he wanted to. Some people reported that he didn't want to be here. Well, they got it done. C.J. Stroud, the pick at number two. You got a little bit lucky there, because if you're at number one, maybe you take Bryce Young. You got lucky that he didn't get taken number one. You had the controversial trade that worked out because you hit on your evaluation of Will Anderson. And now you have the Texans, who are making splash move after splash move. And it doesn't seem like the Houston Texans in the entire franchise history have been a team that's been willing to make these splash moves, which helps because you're capitalizing on C.J. Stroud's rookie deal. You look at just this offseason alone. You make the tough decision to let John Gernard walk. Okay, well, how are you going to get better there? Danielle Hunter. You bring in Danielle Hunter, who's a better pass rusher than John Gernard. Joe Mixon, which I think was plan B. I think they've told you that, because they were very hot and heavy for Saquon Barkley. The price got a little bit too high. But you bring in a Joe Mixon, maybe a little controversy there. I don't know if the former Houston Texans do this. I don't know if Bob McNair brings in a Joe Mixon. These Houston Texans do. You add a little bit of star power at running back, because Mixon does have some clout. He has some cachet. And in the move yesterday, you trade for Stephon Diggs, even if it might be a bad trade because it's a second rounder for a rental, another player with cachet. The Houston Texans seemingly are going all in, splash after splash. This isn't the Houston Texans that we've known for their existence.
I think you're right. I think you take it a step further, too. If this was Bob McNair's Houston Texans, not only Joe Mixon, but would Stephon Diggs be a consideration as well? Because he didn't want any possibility of any bad apples or any problems in his locker rooms. And now you look at it and go, we've talked about this in the past. This team didn't have a big reputation for using free agency as a way to go make splashy moves and get big-time players with big-time names. Now you look at it, and I heard someone say, well, you know, that they added some talent. They added 10 sacks. No, they added 26 and a half sacks when you think about the combination of the two guys they brought in. When you think about improving your running game and doing what they did with Mixon and adding Diggs to the receivers you have and giving CJ every weapon that he could possibly have while he's still on that rookie deal, you have to love where this team is and the direction it's going and how it's going about his business, because now we're looking at a team that hasn't even broached the draft yet and the 3 days that are still yet to come, and you are a significantly better football team than you were at the end of the season.
That's what's so fun about the like, you might not agree with all these moves. Like, we've argued the impact of Joe Mixon. We talked about Diggs and the restructure of his contract today, and, you know, is giving a second round pick next year more, you know, worth more than 1 year potentially of Diggs because of this contract restructure. And I think it's a fair conversation to have. But it's fun. Like, it's fun to have a team that's willing to go for it. You know, Keith from L.A. always tweets us that Nick Caserio needs to be like Les Snead and do bad things to draft picks. Well, he kind of did a bad thing to next year's draft pick of Minnesota. You go out, you get a player who's proven in the NFL, wasn't great in his final seven games in the playoffs for Buffalo, but the Houston Texans feel that was for other reasons that don't involve the production of Stephon Diggs, or at least the player that Stephon Diggs is. So, like, this, it's fun. It's fun to have an organization that is willing to go all in. I don't think they'll do this whenever C.J. Stroud gets an extension, because he's going to take up a huge percentage of the salary cap. But while you have this opportunity, mm-hmm. go for it. Attack, and they are attacking.
See, on that point, Jeremy, I think you might see the opposite. I think what you've seen when Mahomes, once he signed the mammoth deal that he signed in Kansas City, now you're going to see the fact that they're going to make tough decisions going the other way to let go of players that were impactful for them, because you don't have the luxury of having your best player at the most expensive position playing very cheap. But while they are capitalizing on this, as a fan, it's not your money. It's not your draft picks. Yeah, you worry about the draft pick part of it more, because you know, as a savvy fan, how that factors into the overall sustainability and development of the team. But if you're a fan for this year, knowing this is the offense they're going to put out there for you, a top 10 type tight end, those three wide receivers, a good, steady, proven to this point, I know we've had our discussion about with Joe Mixon, and a better than average offensive line with one hole to fill on it, whether you believe in Kenyon Green or you think they're going to go out and get another option, that's a pretty good offensive lineup to put your stock in, going, I love what this team has done. And as a fan, I couldn't be more excited and ramped up already for a team that is going into its second season under a coach that everybody loves, doing things the way you would want it to be done if you were a fan.
You enter the draft, too, where you can sit back and take whoever falls to you. Like, you can take the best player available, which is one of the goals I had in the offseason. Like, do things in free agency or in the offseason, in this case via trade, where you can go into the draft and just take whoever is the best player on the board whenever your pick comes up. And I think the Texans have done that. 7196, I think this is the beginning of the golden era. What is stopping y'all interviewing Diggs? Welcome him. Learn about him. Well, the Houston Texans are the flagship. Yeah,
I can tell you two things that are stopping us from doing that.
Contracts.
Yeah, mostly contracts and things that we can't work around. I think we've learned about him, though.
I got cagey and did it and pulled the wool over their eyes one time. That didn't go over so well.
It's probably before he even was signed, though.
He was drafted but not signed.
Yeah, so he probably wasn't even under contract yet.
Yeah.
Talking about Kenyon Green. Whenever he came. Did the Killer Bees ruin Kenyon Green, though?
I thought about that, too.
did we jinx it?
We had something when I was over at the Highway Hell. We had something similar happen where we got our hand slapped from the Astros. We had Alex Bregman on. I don't know if you remember this, Jeremy, but we had Alex Bregman on when he was still a prospect. And we asked him, like, hey, when are you coming up? And Bregman actually said, by naming the colors on the jersey, when he was going to be coming up, the Astros caught wind of that. It even went as so far as to delay Bregman's call up to the big leagues because they were so mad about it. So, yeah. No, we're not able to we're not able to get Diggs on.
They slapped him on the wrist.
Yeah.
They slapped him on the wrist, which was fun. Joaquin says all the Texans did was move down the draft 19 spots to get Diggs for 1 year. Seems pretty fair to me. Yeah, I think that is fair when you look at it that way. Now, the trade for Stephon Diggs was Minnesota. Like, you already had that in hand. Like, you already had Minnesota's second-round pick in hand. Then you flip the second-round pick for Stephon Diggs. So, you know, you have to make a decision if you like the trade or not.
I think the other thing, too, Jeremy, is the fact that normally moves that are made like that are teams that don't have any more holes to fill, and it's a luxury pick where you can feel like, I can give that up. I'm still such a solid overall team that, you know, we'll take the risk and run with it, and if it doesn't work out, so be it. But we know the Texans still have a couple of positions that they could draft that could actually help them. But it's for next year. So at next year, you come to that bridge when you get to it, and then cross it however you choose to do it. But for this season, to put that guy on that offense with that quarterback and everybody else that we mentioned, that's going to be a whole heck of a lot of fun to watch, no matter who they're playing.
Albert Breer's tweeting now that the Texans can get a fifth round comp pick.
Oh, so they can get comp.
I don't know what to believe.
I don't either.
I don't know. The one guy's saying that they can't get compensation, another guy's saying they can get a fifth rounder. I don't know. I don't know. It makes sense to me that you couldn't get compensation for an original deal that you altered. I tend to believe
that. Yeah,
that
does seem to be the way that they could
monitor. It seems logical.
Yeah, because you would think that teams that suck are going to try and do whatever they can to restructure deals so they can kind of get stockpile and the potential to get picks, right?
Yeah. Bennett Sousa had surgery. He's out for the year. Scroll on that, too. So no more Bennett Sousa for the Houston Astros. All right.
Fun while it lasted.
Those, what, six games?
Yeah.
What was your favorite moment from Sousa as an Astro?
The fact that I thought that it would have been great if we had him on a playoff roster because he pitched well down the stretch.
That he gave Dusty a lefty.
Sort of.
That too.
For six games.
Yeah.
Bad Take Boulevard. What were the worst takes of the week? Who belongs on Bad Take Boulevard? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, I don't need to be flipping my shoes off with a cardigan sweater on to tell you it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. And those aren't going to last for very long because before you know it, we're going to be in 100-degree heat, and you're going to be hoping that your air conditioning, your HVAC units are all going to be up to snuff and operating the way they're supposed to. Whether you want to get out in front of it and get someone that is an expert to take a look at everything you got, tell you what you got going and check your system, or you need someone with a number that you can remember and a people you can trust just in case something goes wrong, I need to tell you about Vanderford Air, because from plumbing to HVAC and air conditioning needs, there's nobody better. They are local. They are not some big-time company that's going to big-time price gouge you. No, they are locals that are concerned and focused on taking care of people in the Houston area. That's why they guarantee their work across the board. And when I say that, it is a five-step guarantee that you're going to love. From repairs to a replacement system or parts replaced, you are going to get 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. That means the performance of whatever product that they bring in or that they fix, the quality workmanship is guaranteed, the comfort assurance guarantee that the temperatures are exactly where they need to be, the value at the lowest cost to you is guaranteed, and your money back if you are not 100% satisfaction guaranteed is the one that makes you smile. And the other one that's going to make you smile, if you do wait and this summer your air conditioning unit goes on the fritz, you can call them, and you have the guarantee that within 24 hours of time, they're going to be at your house. They're going to be helping you out. You don't have to wait days on end in the triple-digit heat going, woo, I'm really sweating this one out, literally. No, they're going to take care of you every step of the way. That's why I tell you to go to Vanderford Air. You can go to VanderfordAir.com or call them because the number's so easy to remember. 281-557-COOL, 281-557-COOL.
Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
He's Blank. I'm Brad. I'm Killer Bees, broadcasting live at Constellation Field in Sugarland. He's Blank. I'm Brad. It's time now for Bad Take Boulevard, the worst takes of the week. The other day, the Astros tweeted out their little lineup tweet, which, you know, they do that every day. Mistakes happen. We understand that mistakes happen. They show that their game was being televised on ESPN Plus instead of Shin.
Mm.
You know who owns Shin?
Mm-hmm.
Jim Crane and Tillman Fertitta.
The Rockets.
I bet you that's a mistake they don't make again.
Probably right, but I will throw the caveat of the fact that the people that are in play right now probably aren't as stung by it as the previous regimes when they had some hot-headed people that would have blown their stack if that had happened. I know when I worked for the Rockets, if anything like that happened and the Rockets got shortchanged or it didn't get right, oh my God.
You worked for the Rockets?
I knew you were going to say something smart-ass yet again. Like, Tad Brown was the most hot-headed. If that would have happened, oh, heads had to roll. He would have been.
I was about to say,
you were there for a while.
I was there. I don't think that person would have. Well, hell, we saw it with the horsey head emoji. I don't think that person would have survived.
Yeah, poor Chad.
Yeah. He didn't deserve that.
Never saw it coming.
Well,
kind of like the horse.
Neither did the horse.
Yeah, rough. How about talking baseball? Here was talking baseball before the season, talking about the weakness of the Houston Astros.
This is, I think, the weakest Houston rotation I've seen since they became the Houston Astros that we know and feared. The rotation as listed is Framber Valdez at the top. You like that. Christian Javier is your two. Jose Urquidy, your number three. Hunter Brown, and then JP France. So right now, it's not at full strength, and that's obvious. When I think of the Houston Astros and all the winning they've done in the past few years, I think of rotations. And they're going to be relying upon a lot of bounce back, which is always a little scary. If anything is going to hold them back from winning the AL West again after losing it last year, I think it might be their starting rotation.
So it's only seven games in. We can't do this. What were the problems you noticed?
One, he said they lost the AL West last year. That was one problem. The other problem was they listed Jose Urquidy as the third starter. There was never going to be a world where Jose Urquidy was your third starter.
No, so those were both bad takes. So those are bad takes in itself right there, just off the rip. Those are bad takes because you have zero clue what you're talking about when it comes to the Astros. Secondly, it's too soon to dunk on them for seven games. Like, oh, the Astros rotation's brutal, but the Astros rotation's actually been really, really good. But when is the threshold to where we can dunk on them, where we can say that this is a really bad take because the Astros are really, really good?
Memorial Day? That's kind of the classic line, right?
I was going to say a month or more.
Maybe when Verlander gets back. Because you would only expect it to improve by adding Verlander and taking out whoever exits the starting rotation. So
They obviously didn't remember.
If their numbers are still great, when then Verlander returns, I don't think they have an argument anymore.
They're obviously just looking at what the starting rotation for the start of the year might look like.
Because they're
not factoring in Verlander coming back, the other guys by midseason, you know, Urquidy, who wasn't going to even start the season in the rotation. They didn't do a whole lot of homework here, but at the same time, I would say like a month in, if you're still talking about one of the top, what, 3 to 5 starting rotations in baseball, that's a bad look.
I mean, I get the kind of the heart of their argument because we obviously had tons of conversations this offseason about Javier bouncing back, Fromber's second half, some of the other concerns we had, like injuries to Verlander and, you know, LMJ coming back, Luis García get back. So I get the heart of the argument that there's questions about the rotation, but they obviously took the take way too far.
Yeah, this is I'm going 40 games.
40?
40 games. Quarter of the year.
So mid-May.
Yeah, it's about 40, isn't it?
Yeah, probably, I think.
Mid-May. I like Memorial Day, too. That's a good one. Carl Ravage, this is the company that Brian McDonald keeps. Carl Ravage was calling the Cubs-Rangers game. I think it was opening night. Bottom of the 10th, tie game, bases loaded, one out. Take it away, Carl Ravage.
Time again, and watched him come through a high chopper, fielded home. The force is out there. First, if they wanted it, but they get it at home. What a play.
It was the winning run. The winning run at the plate. He's talking about getting me out at first.
Yeah.
What's Carl? He's sleeping. What is Carl Ravage talking about?
He might have been combing his hair.
What is Carl? It's not all real.
I know.
Not all real. Do you remember this botch, also from Carl Ravage, College World Series? I think it was the last College World Series. It was Oral Roberts and TCU. Oral Roberts was down two runs. They had two runners on in the top of the ninth inning. Again, I emphasize this was the top of the ninth. Can you win a game in the top of the ninth inning, guys?
No.
No,
you can't win a game in the top of the ninth. Carl Ravage, again, you're brilliant.
And this one is hammered to left field. Did he do it? Yes, sir! Walk off. Blaze Brothers, and Oral Roberts rallies and wins it. TCU, I should say, in a walk-off. Top half, that's right, not bottom. 3-1 shot, though, puts
it on top. After it fell, what a cluster.
Jeremy, great the call.
You can 0.0. You can hear the producer. You can't hear it, but you can tell the producer's getting into his ear. That's why he's like, "Oh, he confused him." I'm sorry, TCU. Oh, it's the top of the ninth. What? I'm sure he had a terrible feeling whenever that happened. Can we stop putting this guy on TV?
Well, ESPN has done this for a while, where they take guys that have been Sports Center personalities or talking heads, and they try to just change the role into the play-by-play guy. Now, that's worked well with Chris Fowler.
Fowler's worked well. Reese Davis, where they moved him more to the college basketball
obviously
side.
Obviously, that hasn't happened. Like, Carl Ravitch started off as a Sports Center guy or as a Baseball Tonight host, and then all of a sudden they try to force him into this play-by-play role, and he's clearly not up to snuff.
We need to get rid of Carl Ravitch calling our games. He needs to stop calling baseball games. This Carl Ravitch fella.
Stand on that as your presidential platform.
He doesn't understand that the winning runs at third and they had a play at first. Okay, what are you talking about, dude? And then he doesn't understand the top and the bottom half of the ninth inning.
Can you tolerate him doing Little League?
No. Yeah, I don't watch
Little League. I'm going to say you're not watching
Little League. At least give him something to do.
Was it a charity?
Maybe the kids are getting better on the field and he's getting better in the box.
Well, at the same time, the kid's like, oh, we got Carl Ravitch? Okay, this is a big deal.
Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers, his pitcher, or his second baseman rather, Kiki Hernandez, was doing the mic'd up the other day on the ESPN broadcast. And you could hear the PitchCom calls. Take a listen.
3-2. 3-2. All right. I don't have to cover now.
But you're still diving?
Still diving even more now, especially the line. I might bring in two.
Now, all that stuff's on delay. Like, there's no way the other team's getting the signs there.
I think it was neat to hear what it was. I was cool. Always curious to hear what it sounds
what
like.
It sounds
yes.
Like, yeah.
I did like the voice. The voice better than, like, Siri or
S2E
anything.
Got a job.
But Dave Roberts was asked afterwards about the whole thing or whatever, and he said, I would have a little comment about a trash can, but I'm not going to go there. You just went there, dude.
He did go there.
He's stealing your bit.
he did steal my bit.
Yeah, he did. You should be mad about that.
Yeah. Dave Roberts. I mean, Josh Reddick, whenever he came to the Astros, later said that the Dodgers were also stealing signs. So, yeah, be on your high horse, Dave Roberts.
Didn't,
your glass houses.
What was the catcher? Eric, that was with Milwaukee, said that the
Kratz.
He said that the Dodgers were cheating as well.
Paul Pierce surprised a white girl from Iowa can play ball. Listen.
Yeah, it's beyond that, Key. I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna just keep it 100 with you. We saw a white girl in Iowa do it to a bunch of black girls.
Mm. Well, of course.
That made it like, oh, that gained my respect.
I hear you. You're
like
right.
That's like, oh, she didn't do this to some other little white girls that was over here in Colorado, wherever. She did it to some girls from LSU, who we thought were some dogs.
Defending champs,
and put them on her knee and spanked them.
Spanked them.
And so that, and then, I know, but I didn't expect that.
He does that with KG, and who's the other guy?
Oh, it was Skip. It was on their show. It was Skip and it
wasn't
KG.
Oh, that was Skip.
Yeah, it wasn't KG.
I was talking about the podcast,
Keyshawn?
Where they were talking about the Rockets the other day.
It was Keyshawn.
Yeah,
it was Skip
Paul
and Keyshawn.
Pierce should not be.
Is he wrong, though?
Yeah, Paige Beckers.
Yeah.
Paige Beckers has been doing it for several years,
It just comes off as a take of you clearly haven't watched any.
Sure,
of
but
her.
I mean.
Because this is not like Caitlin Clark bust on the scene yesterday.
I think
like she's been doing this.
Sure,
she held her own against LSU last year.
Yeah,
but the first time you see, look, I think that Paul Pierce is onto something. Now it does show that he hasn't really paid attention to Caitlin Clark. But I do think the first time you see like a white guy or white girl in this case, like they can go, you're like, oh dang, they can go.
It is more surprising to you. There's a small part of it that I get where Paul Pierce is saying, but like I said, it comes off as like, well, you clearly haven't watched.
But if it was the first time that like anybody had ever seen Caitlin Clark, like if you didn't know who Caitlin Clark was and you just turned on the Final Four, not that this would ever happen, let's say you're in a coma, you turn on the Final Four and you're like, oh damn, she can play, you would be a little bit more surprised because she's white than if it were the opposite.
There's a guy from French Lick, Indiana that took the country by storm too,
and everybody talks about the color of his skin and he's like the greatest white guy,
right? But they knew he could play before he played Magic in the finals.
Well, you didn't know that until you saw him play. That's what I'm saying. The first time you ever see somebody play and they're a white person, it catches you a little bit more off guard, a little bit more. It's the same thing with Cooper DeJean at Iowa. Oh, there's a white guy that's going to be a cornerback in the NFL. Absolutely, but it comes into play.
I think that when you look at it, you've seen enough Caitlin Clark over the last several years to realize it.
Sure, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the very first time that you lay eyes on a white athlete and you're like, oh, they can go. Yeah, it catches you a little bit more off guard.
But that's not what he's saying. He's saying.
I changed the conversation. Like, I agree with Brian that the bad take here is that he has no idea who Caitlin Clark is. But if you take that little piece of it, like, yeah, a white person that can play is a little bit more surprising.
But the other thing to me is, he didn't. Obviously, she's been in the game for a while. You look at what she did last year to LSU and South Carolina, and she held her own and then some.
Sure,
to where it's a pretty. I think it's a pretty idiotic take.
Yes, that part of it is true. But if it was the very first time watching Caitlin Clark, I totally understand why it would catch him by surprise.
I just love how Paul Pierce buried entire states. He mentions Iowa. He mentions Colorado. It's like, yeah, the entire state has no players who can play.
There's probably some truth to that, too. Go look at the NBA and go pull up the state by state. There's probably a lot of guys from Cali.
Well, they also have lower populations.
A lot of guys from Texas. I mean, that's not a surprise.
Wisconsin.
We see it all the year in college football. Like, where are the most D1 players?
Yeah, it's always
always Texas.
California, Georgia. Yeah. Those are the top four.
It's absolutely truth to it.
There's a scary number of Wisconsinites in the NBA, just to let you know.
Now, you're right.
Yeah, they're located on the bench.
No, that's not true either.
The bad take is that he was kind of surprised who Caitlin, like, she had game when she's been around forever and she's been really, really good for a very, very long time. All right, last one. Peter Schrager and Albert Breer think that NC State's DJ Burns could play offensive tackle in the NFL. Brian put this one in here. I'm gonna actually defend this. How do we know that he can't play offensive tackle in the NFL?
Well, it's not so much that they were saying that there's a possibility that he could make a roster at some point. The quotes go on to talk about seemingly the belief that he could actually be not only possibly make a camp invite, but actually be really good and pay top money. It was like, just because I know Antonio Gates played basketball, Tony Gonzalez played basketball, but they're not even talking about DJ Burns then playing tight end like those guys.
There's another one because you got Hall of Fame right there.
There's another one. The Colts tight end.
Talking about Gates.
Julius Peppers started on Carolina's teams and is in the Hall of Fame.
Who am I thinking of? The Colts tight end that played ball, George Mason.
You're thinking of, I know exactly who you're thinking of.
Yeah.
His name's on the tip of my tongue.
Anyway.
The Texans or Cowboys had a guy, too, that played college basketball, never played football, and they brought him into camp. And I want to say he ended up making a roster.
It just feels like a lazy take.
Mo Alley Cox.
Yeah, it just feels like a lazy take. Like, oh, well, this guy's 6'7 and, you know, 290, so he could just step in and play.
I'm not going to lie. When I watched him play.
It's not that easy.
But it's his footwork.
Watched him play during the season, I was like, whoa, big fella, did you ever play football? Because your footwork is unbelievable.
Maybe there's similar traits, but the idea that he's just going to step in and play and command money as a left tackle is just...
I bet you...
Teams will put you on the practice squad,
exactly,
too, if they think you
money
got talent.
Money left tackle, absolutely not. Practice squad, if he wanted to, I bet you he could give it on
practice
squad.
Some team will give him a tryout. I believe that part of it. I just don't believe how far they went with their opinion.
Yeah, like where you're talking about the amount of money he can make a year. Like, I don't think he's going to be a top shelf left tackle.
No.
I think he could be a practice squad guy with a chance to maybe see him develop.
Can he play left guard?
I mean, I'd pick him up. I'd let him block some guys. To me, he's probably going to play basketball overseas, though. I think that's where he's at.
It wouldn't surprise me if because of his footwork and his touch, that an NBA team puts him on there, drafts him with a two-way, or puts him on a two-way and puts him in the G League.
He's got a big body with touch and skill. 3-3-3. He can't shoot, though, like outside. 3-3-3.
You don't think so?
8.
I think his mid-range is pretty good.
I don't think I'm talking about
three.
Well,
he said outside.
Yeah, he's not a three-point shooter.
10, 12 feet. He can't shoot from three. 3-3-3-8, ask Blankers to name five players from Wisconsin.
In the NBA?
Sam Decker.
Yeah.
No, he's not in the NBA right now. Podzinski, what's the rookie from Golden State, starting for Golden State?
Oh, he's a good player.
Yeah, he's a good player. Jordan Poole is a good player. Kayvon Looney is an NBA player.
You're losing me here.
Are these all Warriors? It's like, is Wisconsin a pipeline to Golden State?
Pulls with Washington now, though, right?
When he started off Golden State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a pipeline. Wisconsin.
Okay, you named three, right?
Yeah, I should know this. I know that they're there. Now that makes me mad.
5-7-7-4. George Fant played offensive tackle.
Frank Kaminsky, is he still in the league?
George Fant played offensive tackle, played basketball only at Western Kentucky. Never played football, straight to the NFL. So there you go. Maybe that's the inspiration story for DJ Burns. Speaking of the Warriors, Rockets-Warriors tonight. Let's talk about this one. Must win for Houston. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Mike Holley, U of H class of 1990. Go Cougs. Great people at HRMP. Mike Holley runs it. Chris Fisher over there. They've been protecting the interests of businesses for nearly 25 years. HRMP provides comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits administration, and payroll. HRMP will work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. There's nothing cookie cutter about HRMP. You need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between. HRMP will create a plan for what you and your business needs. Also, their customer service, second to none. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll be calling someone that's familiar with you, familiar with your company. I can speak to that customer service anytime I have a question. Always get a quick response, easy to understand. Let HRMP take on the demands of human resources and eliminate your HR burdens so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRMP customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
Live from Constellation Field for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Rockets, Warriors tonight. This is the last hope for the Houston Rockets. Three games back, seven games to play, and Golden State owns the tiebreaker, which a tiebreaker is worth half a game. Jamon Green thinks it's worth a full game. His math isn't very good. Learned that at Michigan State because he was talking trash to the Rockets the other day, and Tari Eason. A lot of anticipation for this game. You had Draymond Green say he didn't give a darn about the Houston Rockets. Tari Eason, he went to social media, talked about Golden State, which, I mean,
not a good move.
I didn't really love that. Like, you got to be at least playing.
Yep.
Golden State's a 3.5-point favorite tonight. The game, of course, in Houston. How do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, I think the Rockets are going to be competitive tonight. I think the Rockets are going to treat this like when we were talking about a playoff game. This is as good as it gets in terms of getting your young players the experience of playing a veteran-laden team that's been there and done that, though they're not the team they were in the past, that are looking to bury you and put you to bed once and for all. You play better at home. You've been playing well of late. You're going to have to put your best effort forward because Golden State, they've got a chip on their shoulder when it comes to Houston. The guys that we're talking about, the Draymond Greens, the Klay Thompsons, the Steph Currys, they've had issue with this organization and the players before. They would love to come in here and shut the door, put them to bed, have Steph do his little thing with his little night-night gesture at the end and say, your season's over. But I think the Rockets can hang with them. Athletically, if they run up and down the floor and if they really push them, Draymond doesn't run a run. Steph can still run. Klay's a shell of himself. I think that they can take advantage of their athleticism, youth, and speed, and they can really put the Warriors on their heels. But this is it. I mean, this is do or die, and I think that the Rockets are going to be competitive, but that experience down the stretch for Golden State means something. They had the Warriors on the ropes earlier this season when Steph just went nuts. And I just think it's too soon. I think this is probably where it comes to an end. I looked at the schedule last night. I don't know. I think there's a chance that the Rockets, for as great as that winning streak was, they might finish the season losing just about every game.
Oof. I actually like the Rockets' chances tonight. Like, this is their Super Bowl. Like, this game means a lot to these Houston Rockets. Like, okay, now it's a game against the team that's in front of us, our last hope to fight for the play-in. They've been trying to build to this, et cetera. Like, they knew this game was down the pike. They knew it's the team they were chasing. And Golden State doesn't need to win this game. Like you were saying, like the Rockets' schedule down the stretch is much more difficult than Golden State. It's in Houston. Even if Golden State were to lose this game, they still have a two-game lead over the Rockets and still have the tiebreaker with just six games left to go. So, like, this game is not massive for the Warriors, where it is massive for the Rockets and probably the Rockets fans. Like, I imagine they'll have a good crowd with Golden State there. I imagine that it'll be a big game for the fans. I bet you that, you know, that the Rockets will be lifted up a little bit by what I think is going to be one of the better home crowds this season. And Golden State, I mean, they're a team that, like you mentioned, they're veteran, playoff, all this stuff, and they know that this isn't a game that they must have.
But I think that when they walk into the building and they feel those things,
maybe
they need that external motivation, because otherwise, you're right, it's just, it's Houston, they're young, so what? They get their hopes up, and then we crush. But they walk in, they feel that, and be like, okay, all right, you know what? Maybe that's the external motivation they need to go, well, let's do it again. Let's do what they hate to see us do. Come in here and put them to bed and go at them. I think it's a great test for the Rockets. I think again, whether they make the playoffs or not, these type games, the fact that Craig was saying the other night about, you know, you haven't seen a meaningful game for a team like this in quite a while, and these are the kind of emotional things that these young players need to feel, it's great for Adoka and everything that they've done to develop these young kids.
60-30, who gets a tech first, Draymond Green or Dylan Brooks?
I think Draymond Green. I think he's going to come out bumping his gums again and doing what he did when he got the tossed out within 7 minutes of the game against Orlando. And he just can't, like, get it there, get close, but not over the top. He's going to come out over the top. He's going to come out overly demonstrative. I could easily see him being the first guy to get a T.
Yeah, I could see it going the opposite way. Not that I disagree with you, but, like, if it starts going a little bit south for the Rockets, this game has meant a lot to them. Dylan Brooks gets a little frustrated. Chirps to an official.
Can I tell you the kicker why he won't?
Why?
He's mic'd up tonight.
Is that going to stop him?
Yeah.
Like, he's a guy who likes the Dylan the villain mantra.
He does, but he also, you know, a lot of it is hearsay of what happened on the court. If he goes and starts saying a bunch of stuff and they got tape of it, the league office can still get, you know, I just think he's going to be a little more careful.
Yeah, that will be, well, I don't think that anything you say on the mic'd up is going to cost you from the league office. Like, how could they?
They can't use it on the air?
Sure.
But
you're going to get mic'd up on something that never comes to air? No way.
We'll see.
No way the NBAPA would ever allow that. No chance.
I don't know how they do it when the local teams now are getting the flexibility to be able to mic a guy up. But when the national ones do it in the playoffs, there's an NBA PR person and a Rockets PR person or whoever it is.
They can fine you.
Well, they can utilize it in their case against you if they're looking for proof. Did he say something? Depending on how defamatory and inflammatory and offensive it could be, that – I think most players are smart enough. If they know they're mic'd up, they're not gonna bring their A game verbally.
Remember the best example of that, of it's actually the opposite of that, was when Peyton Manning went over and yelled at Jeff Saturday in the Colts sideline, and Jeff Saturday's like, "We need to run the ball." He's like, "You're the lineman, don't tell me what to do. I'm the quarterback, blah blah blah. Block for me. Just block for me. Stop going into business for yourself." And then, like, he cools down for a second, sits down. I think it was Brandon Stokley, and he looked at him and he goes, "I just realized I'm mic'd up." Like, he had forgotten that he was mic'd up, and, like, somehow, I mean, it wasn't anything too crazy. They just got into a little bit of a football argument that happens, but it's probably my favorite mic'd up moment.
And the reason why I say what I say is because we were in the playoffs against Portland, and McHale looked at JB Bickerstaff when, I think it was LaMarcus Aldridge was just handing him there, and they went on to say some things that McHale forgot, I guess, that he had the mic on, or he was told that whatever they said was not going to be used, not going to be accessible, and all of a sudden, it not only got, the word got out, the audio got out, and it was an NBA person that was in the truck, and he's like, get the NBA on the phone right now during practice. He's got me on my cell phone going, get him on, because I'm never doing it again. They told me the opposite. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I get it. Because they were trying to come back. He goes, "You can't do that when I'm doing you a solid of putting a microphone on."
Yeah, you have to be a really good editor on that. I would be shocked, though, if you can get that fine. Now, to use it as evidence, I could see that. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. All right, two worries with the Texans that maybe you can put to rest. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.